Welcome to the presentation of the annual results 2017 of SAIC Automotive. Lorea Aristizabal, Director for Corporate Development at the SAIC Group, will be in charge of giving this presentation. At the end of the presentation, there will be a Q&A, or you will be able to ask your question by dialing 01 on your phone during any time during the presentation. And now I'll hand over to Ms. Aristizabal. Go ahead, please. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the SAIC Automotive conference call. Yesterday, I read one of our analysts who said the company will offer a conference call tomorrow that we will be listening to carefully, although the fact is that the figures presented speak for themselves, and I couldn't agree more. So we'll try to make this presentation as brief as possible. A few days ago, we started with the good news by publishing some solid results from Dominion, whose adjusted turnover has grown 22% in 2017, up to 745 million euros, including its own organic growth of 7%, and the attributable net income has grown from 21.5 million euros in 2016 to 25.8 million euros in 2017, 20% more. We also highlight at Dominion the successful integration of Phonehouse in the last quarter, a portfolio with more than 600 million euros, a very solid balance sheet with 102 million euros in cash, and EBITDA conversion in 2017 into operating cash of more than 60%. For more details on Dominion, please refer to the conference call that took place on February 21st, and which you can access through rebroadcasting. And today we're here to continue with the good news, in this case of the automotive division. The automotive division sales in 2017 grew 27% to almost 2.9 billion euros, and what's more important, 60% of this growth is organic growth. We will now review the performance of the various markets, as you've seen on page 10 of the presentation. But above all, we will review what we can expect from each of those markets in 2018. First, moving to NAFTA, a market that has dropped 4% in production, pulled down by a 9% drop in Canada and 8% in the United States, a major growth in Mexico of 14%. And this way, we've gone from a NAFTA market of 17.8 million vehicles produced in 2016 to 17.1 million vehicles in 2017. Meanwhile, CIE, with an organic growth in that market of 18%, the result of an extremely strong growth in Mexico and a slight growth also in the United States, where our last quarter has been especially good. What can we expect in this market for 2018? Well, we expect a growth of approximately 2% with new drops in the Canadian market, significant growth in Mexico, and a fairly flat market in the U.S., a NAFTA market that would stabilize around 17.4 million vehicles. If we refer to the European market, a market which in 2017 has been a mature market but is still giving very good news with a production increase of 3%, making it possible to reach 22.1 million vehicles, finally exceeding the 2007 pre-crisis levels. CIE Europe, with an organic growth of 11%, both in the perimeter of traditional Europe as well as in the Europe of Mahindra CIE, thanks in both cases to the high level of order entries and the start-up of new projects. What can we expect for 2018? Well, a European market that will be growing at a rate of approximately 2% that will take us close to 22.6 million vehicles. Brazil market, with production growth of 26%, recovering a very significant part of the production lost over the last 3 years, and exceeding 2.6 million vehicles in 2017. A growth promoted both by internal Brazilian demand as well as exports to other countries in South America like Argentina or Colombia. In this framework, CIE, with an organic growth of more than 37%, thanks to the confidence of our customers who continue to assign us new projects and increase our market share in that country. What can we expect for 2018? Well, we expect the market to reach 3 million vehicles. This would represent a new double-digit growth, this time amounting to 13%. Moving to Asia, and first of all, India, a market that in 2017 has increased output by 7%, reaching 4.5 million vehicles produced, surpassing Korea and consolidating the country as the fourth world producer, only behind China, United States and Germany. CIE in India, with an organic growth of 19%, that proves that after 4 years there, our intense commercial activity is giving its results. What can we expect for 2018 for the market to continue to show that it is solid and grow an additional 7%? In this case, it would reach 4.8 million vehicles. Finally, China, a market which in 2017 has grown 2%, ending the year with 28 million vehicles, and has reinforced its position as the top world market. In this context, CIE, with an organic growth of 22%, which, as you know, is fundamentally due to the development of our forging project in Nanjing. What can we expect from the Chinese market? There is a clear slowdown in the market, with an expected growth of around 1% for 2018, a low-level growth that hasn't been seen in the last decade. If we leave the markets and talk about operating margins in the automotive world, the headline is the improvement of almost 1 percentage point in the EBIT margin, which on a year-to-year basis is 11.7% versus 10.9% last year. As you've seen already on page 12 of the presentation, on the one hand, we have three divisions with major margin improvements. Mahindra CIE Europe, which offsets part of the seasonal effect at the end of the year with new projects and whose EBIT margin improves by 200 basis points to 9%, reflecting major operating improvements achieved by the team. A second market, Brazil, where the operating leverage continues and where we are now close to an 11% EBIT margin, a very significant improvement of more than 600 basis points compared to 2016. And the third is Asia. As promised, this year there has been another leap in margin improvement, 150 additional basis points, reaching an EBIT margin of 9%. It's obvious that in three cases, the current strategic objective for 2020 of 10% EBIT margin seems very close and very realistic. On the other hand, we have two markets, NAFTA and traditional Europe. NAFTA, with a 17.2% EBIT margin, lower than the margin in 2016, which is partly explained by the incorporation of Nucor and its margin dilution effect, and on the other hand, by an especially weak last quarter in Mexico, with significant Christmas shutdowns and stock adjustments by some of our main customers. Traditional Europe, with a 10.6% EBIT margin in 2017, slightly lower than the margin in 2016, is in a frenzy of industrializations and has also had a second semester with a strong seasonal effect. I'd like to insist at this moment during the presentation on something some of you already asked about yesterday. The margins obtained in these areas in the last quarter of the year, these margins which have been a little bit low, are one-offs, and they are the result of very specific market context. And I would also like to highlight that the visibility we have for 2018 tells us that from this first quarter, in both divisions, major operating margin improvements are going to be seen compared to the annual margins in 2017. We move on to the balance sheet, and as you've already seen on pages 22 and 23 of the presentation, that we have closed 2017 with €855 million in net financial debt, which represents a ratio of net financial debt over EBITDA on a year-to-year basis of 1.59 times, substantially better than a year ago. And regarding cash flow, a conversion of 56% of the EBITDA in operating cash flow, exceeding our strategic objective of 50, a payout of €198 million in M&A during 2017, €138 million in automotive, Nucor, the pending payment for Amaya Tejeria, part of the minority stakes in the Brazilian firm Autometal. So today there are no pending earnouts. Another $60 million in Dominion, including ICC, the pending payment for Broa, the first part of the price for Phonehouse, and as of December 31st, 2017, $54 million are pending in earnouts. And finally, regarding CapEx, the industrialization schedule for various projects in various geographic areas, but in particular in NAFTA, has made 2017 a very intense year in investment in growth, amounting to 4% of sales with over 150 million euros. And I don't want to repeat myself, and to finally come to the end, I would like to remind you of the headlines. An organic growth of 7% in Dominion and 16% in automotive, where we have grown more than five times the market growth, and we have beaten the market in each and every geographic area. An improvement of almost one percentage point in the group's EBIT margin, which stands at 5% in Dominion and close to 12% in automotive. Conversion of 50% of the EBITDA into consolidated net income after taxes, which already represents 7% over sales. An increase of 33% in the consolidated net income and the dividend for 2017, after the 27% increase last year. A major generation level with a conversion of 56% of the EBITDA into operating cash flow. A significant reduction in the debt level to 1.59 times net financial debt over EBITDA in a year of extraordinary growth. And finally, reaching an RONA of 19% on a consolidated basis. Thank you very much for listening, and we will now move on to any questions. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And the Q&A session will be starting now. If you wish to ask a question, please dial 01 on your phone. To ensure sound quality, we recommend the use of a landline for your questions. Thank you. The first question is by Juan Canoas from Firentis. Go ahead, please. Hello, Lorea. Good afternoon. Congratulations on the results. I would like to ask about India. At Mahindra CIE, they said they had several projects with you for technology transfer and also transferring some production from Europe to Asia by Caterpillar, I think it was. I don't know whether you can give us any details on this. Thank you. Juan, thank you very much for your congratulations. We are really grateful. We appreciate it, and it doesn't sound soppy at all. There have been a number of projects, and we shouldn't think that it's going to be an enormous amount, but there have been transfer projects from Europe to India. There has been a small project transferred from the German forges. Why? Because it makes sense to rationalize production, and economically it made sense for a part of non-special added value in India. And a second important part that comes from our gears plant in Italy, the Metal Castello plant, which has also been transferred to India. I think that this is just a reflection of that change in management at Mahindra Thier that was carried out slightly over a year ago, the last quarter of 2016, which is providing results, and not just in this area of transferring technology to India, but also in these other areas you mentioned. I think that the mobilization of CIE resources towards India is running full speed ahead. We have a team in Mexico where we have our stamping headquarters. We have a Mexican team traveling very regularly to India. We have a team from the AIC in Boroa traveling to India to help on the casting side. We have help in India itself between Bilforge supporting our other plants, our Chakan forge plant. And I think that all this is reflected in that gradual margin improvement that you're seeing quarter after quarter, both in the Asian area of Mahindra CIE and in the European area. and what's still to come. We have to attain the strategic objectives 2020 that take us to that 10% EBIT margin. It's just around the corner, but it hasn't been reached yet. And after that, set new objectives. Thank you very much. We remind you once again that if you would like to ask a question, please dial 01 on the keyboard of your phone now. Thank you. We have no further questions in Spanish, so we'll move on to the questions.
Your line is open, sir. Please go ahead.
Hi, Loya. It's Erwan speaking. How are you doing? Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you, Erwan.
Okay. Hi, Loya. Thank you. Thank you for taking my question. I've got a couple of questions, please. The first one is on the traditional European business. If you look at the profitability development over the last 2 years, you lost basically 2 points of EBITDA margin. So I would like if you can comment on this first. Second question is on the CapEx. The CapEx was very high in 2017, so what can we expect for 2018? Can we expect a decline in percentage of sales? This is my second question. The third question is on the 2020 margin target. Can you remind me if this margin target for the group is based on reported sales or on adjusted sales? And the last one, it would be great if you could remind me what will be the earnout to be paid in 2018. Thank you.
Gracias, Erwan.
Thank you, Erwan, for your questions. I'm going to review several of them. I'll start with the CapEx. Regarding CapEx, it's true that it has been an especially intense year, as I said. The schedule for the projects required it. The schedule for the projects meant that the investments weren't shared out proportionally during all these years during this strategic plan. There were more intense years, and this was one of these intense years. It's been especially intense in CapEx growth. And if you look at the audited accounts we've published, and in the segmentation area, if you look at that distribution of the CapEx by geographic areas, you'll see that some areas are more intense in investment than others. And I especially mentioned NAFTA, because it's really intense compared to the other CIE areas. Does this mean that we have to expect this level of CapEx for the coming years? Not at all. We have given a guidance of an average CapEx level for the years during the strategic plan, and this means that there will be years like this one, a little bit more intense, and others which, because of the project schedule and their investments, will be less intense. So here I'll just say that we're sticking to the current CapEx, which is public today, and some years will be more intense and others less intense. And I'll continue with the guidance with a reminder about the 2020 targets. We spoke about a margin of 12% EBIT over sales. This was the target for 2020 for the consolidated results at CIE. This, in turn, has a breakdown into the Dominion target and the automotive target. The automotive target meant reaching practically 13% EBIT. And what we're seeing is that we haven't yet reached 12% in 2017, but we're very close. We're at 11.7. So we see that the fulfillment of this target for 2020 is close and realistic. And I'll end up talking about the last question, I think. How many earnouts are pending payment? As mentioned when talking about cash flow, in automotive, all the payments have been made in 2017, and only payments are pending from Dominion, amounting to 54 million euros. And I think with that, I've answered all your all questions. Forgive me if I haven't, and please...
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, if you have any comments or questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad to enter a queue. Thank you.
The next question is by Álvaro Aristegui from Auro y Corporación. Go ahead, please. Hello, good afternoon. First of all, Lorea, I'd like to remind you that after the update of the strategic objectives, the objective is not 12, it's 12.1. Let's not forget that 0.1%. And then to ask you whether you know anything about what was said about Dominion and the corporate side, news. Álvaro, thank you very much. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Each decimal point counts. There's no doubt about it. The update of corporate news. Well, I think that the Dominion issue is something that we've been discussing in recent months. The speed up of the M&A by Dominion means that Dominion has a size close to that magic figure we always spoke about, which could detonate its departure from the group. And I think it's public that we're working on and studying the departure formula so that it would be a win-win situation for everyone or for most of the stakeholders. I think you'll have news in the short term, because our analysis will lead to some conclusion soon that will have to go through the board, and it will also go through the annual meeting. So I think that you will have news soon, and let's hope that there will be news on this during 2018. Regarding M&A, well, it's been a year 2017 where after buying Nucor, it's true that we had a moment when debt was close to the limit we had imposed on ourselves. During several quarters, we worked on generating cash flow and reducing that company debt. Meanwhile, we've been working, because it's very hard to close M&A operations, and we've been working on several operations, and the M&A is unpredictable. I wish I could swear that some of them are going to come out in 2018, because that's what we expect to happen. But in the unforeseeability of the negotiations, we can only convey the message, which is the reality. We're working on several. We really liked some of the nice M&A projects we're working on to work out, and we hope that they will be fruitful. Thank you very much, Alvaro. Thank you very much. We have no further questions requested at today's conference call, so I'll return and how about to Ms. Aristizabal again? Well, thank you very much, everybody.